rules for life do you live by? There are books written on this. Rules to live by. What would you say? To be kind? That's it? That's pretty close, you know? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Well, that's Jesus. Yeah, he told us that one. So, yes, Casey? Showing compassion, yeah? Forgiving others. If you ask someone who wasn't a Christian, what might they say? You go, I don't know, I don't think like them. But there's so many of them. Yeah, so the golden rule is out there, even with those who were not believers. I think you'd hear things like, it's a dog-eat-dog world. Right? Look out for yourself. Lift yourself up by your bootstraps. Right? Those are the things that the world tells us. These are rules to live by. And Jesus boils everything down to these two. So this teacher of the law, the scribe, notices that Jesus has given this great response to those who were debating about the resurrection. That's what, not his resurrection, but the resurrection of the dead. That's what happens right before this passage. And so he's really impressed, and he says, you know, which is the most important commandment? And for us, if I ask you that, I imagine you would think, if you didn't know Jesus' response, you would think of the Ten Commandments, you know, thou shalt not kill, right? You know all those, right? And you would choose from those. But did you know that in the Old Testament, do you know how many commandments there are? Do you know? All of these commandments that the Pharisees live by, the ultimate control freaks, 613 commandments. 613 that they expected the people to live by. And then they would take those 613 and come up with a whole bunch of extra little ones to go with each one. Micromanagement. This is what they were about. Out of those 613, 248 were things telling people what they had to do. And 365 told them what they weren't allowed to do. That's how many. And so some of them were considered to be more important. So he's really not asking a trick question here. He wants Jesus' opinion. Which one do you think is the most important? Jesus' response is what you just heard. That you should love the Lord your God. We've sung it. We've said it. Commit it to memory. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And it really doesn't matter if you get it out of order. It doesn't matter. Those four things. And love the Lord your God with all. You could just say all and you'd have it. And love your neighbor as yourself. And in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, when this is given, Jesus says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It all boils down to those words. Much easier, don't you think, to memorize two commandments than 613. So this is known as the Great Commandment. Okay, we have two things in Protestant Christianity that have been talked about for centuries. You have the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And we talked about the Great Commission when I first arrived here. That's the one that says, go and make disciples of all nations. Remember that part? At the end of the book of Matthew. This is the Great Commandment. So if somebody says to you, what's the Great Commandment? This is what they're talking about. This comes, Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy from the Old Testament, chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. And listen to how serious God is about this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That's how serious that is. And in Orthodox Jewish houses today, you will see that this is posted on the doorpost. There's a little thing that contains it. And some even wear these little boxes on their hands. And that's what's in there. These words that Jesus is quoting. In the book of Numbers, also in the beginning of the Old Testament, people were commanded to wear clothes with fringes and to have blue cords on the corners of that garment to remind them of this passage. I thought about getting some little bracelets for everybody. And then I thought, no, you can get yourself a rubber band. Put it around your wrist. Whatever it takes to remember, this is what it's all about. This is everything. So let's go through some of this. And maybe I can give you some practical ways to look at this passage. Because you've heard it, right? You've heard it. You heard it in Sunday school if you grew up in the church. It's the kind of thing that's out there. It's, you know, John 3:16 is probably the only thing, you know, for God so loved the world, that passage. That's probably the only thing that you might hear more than this from a Christian who's speaking. So these are intimidating things to preach on. Because you go, what can I possibly share that's fresh and that will help? Love is the word agape. You've heard me speak of it. You've probably heard many pastors speak of agape love. Unconditional love. That's the kind of love. It doesn't matter whether God does what we ask him to do. Right? A lot of people, if you ask them why they don't believe in God, they'll say, well, why would I believe in a God who let this happen? Or who didn't do this? Right? Unconditional love, not only from God to us, but from us to God. Love with all. Whenever I hear that, there was this video. I'm going to have to find it, Judy. I'm just going to have to find this video. It's about half-hearted singing. And I think I've mentioned a little of this before. But it takes hymns that have these powerful titles and change them and kind of make them weak. So you know the hymn, I Surrender All, right? It becomes I Surrender Some. Okay. And you can spend some time if you wanted looking at the hymnal. And you can come up with these ideas yourself. You don't need somebody else to do it. But the idea is we sing it, but we really don't live it. We really don't. So how do we love God with all? How about our hearts? How do we love him with all our hearts? We say to people, I love you with all my heart, right? We say that to people. Do we mean it? And if we do mean it, we're talking a very, probably fairly shallow interpretation or minimal interpretation of the word heart. In the Bible, in Jesus' time, the heart wasn't just the center of emotion. It was everything. The center of your being, your passion, your desires, everything that matters to you. Are we passionate about God? Passionate. Think of that word. Most of us, not so much. In Ezekiel, one of the Old Testament prophets, chapter 11, it says this, I will give them, this is God speaking, I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, so that they may follow my statutes and keep my ordinances and obey them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose heart goes after their detestable things and their abominations, I will bring their deeds upon their own heads, says the Lord God. It's about what our hearts go after. What are our hearts go after? What do we long for? What are we passionate about? I don't know about you, but I find that that's not quite where I am sometimes. Sometimes I get there, but it doesn't last. Other things distract, don't they? And so I ask myself, how do I develop that kind of love for God? Because if I don't have it, I can't just snap my fingers and it's there. Okay, the Spirit of God can love through me. But for it to be my love, how do I develop it? And this is what I think. The more time I spend with Him in prayer, the more I love Him. If you don't spend time with somebody, it's kind of hard to develop a relationship with them, isn't it? Spending time with God in prayer draws us closer to Him. You might set an alarm. I have an alarm on my phone. I share this with my Tuesday study that says it's time for your daily Bible reading. 8:30 a.m., my phone goes off. And it tells me this. Well, what if you set an alarm? If you have a watch, if anybody ever wears watches anymore, set an alarm on your watch. Set an alarm on your phone. This says stop and pray. Stop and pray, because we're not going to think about it if we're not accustomed to it. Set several. That's a practical way. Spend time in God's Word. That is the representative we have of God. I've shared with you before, spend time in the Psalms. Oh, those help. They help a lot. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then with all your soul. Now, we think of our soul as what remains with us when we go to heaven. And that is true. That is true. But it's easy to understand it this way. It's the drive within us. It's the power that God gives us that is within us. So question I have for myself and for you, what are we compelled to do? What are we driven to do? Jesus says, we must be compelled. We must be driven to love God. How do we develop that kind of love for God? Do you ever set goals? Do you ever set goals for anything? I'm not going to admit it because it didn't work out. I can see it. I have this thing on my phone that keeps, this email that keeps coming to me. There's a thing called a 100-day challenge. And they're trying to get me to sign up. And every day they say, don't forget, you haven't signed up yet. 100 days from now, you can either have met your goals or not. And I'm like, I don't need to spend $180 to meet my goals. Goal-driven. We set goals for lots of things. Exercise goals, right? Budget goals, work goals, whatever it could be. Cleaning goals, I have a to-do list to get ready for my friend to come. Because there are things that, you know, need spring cleaning stuff. And I want it to look really nice for her. We set goals all the time. Do we set goals for loving God? How about if we made a goal, okay? Hang on, I don't know if we can handle this one. To talk to one person this week about our faith. You remember Bless? Share your story. Not the hard stuff. Share your story this week. What if you made a goal to spend 1 hour more with God this week? Just 1 hour. Make a goal to reach out and encourage. Like Ken was saying, the world is sad. Make a goal to reach out and encourage one person this week. Doing it with the thought of sharing God's love through that encouragement. And maybe there's another one that God puts into your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Jesus says it's not enough to love God with just the first two. He wants our intelligence. Do you know? He cares. He doesn't sit there and say, "Ugh, can't use that one. They're not very smart." That's not what he's about. We're all brilliant in God's eyes. Did you know that? Because we are perfectly made for his purposes. He wants our thoughts. Laziness? No excuse. No excuse. So how do we develop that love? Think about him. Do you think about God? Do you sit and think about the God of all creation? Wow, God. Wow, you are amazing. Think about him. Stretch your mind with studying something. If you're not a reader, listen to something. There are lots of audio books out there. Something that helps you to use your intelligence to think about God. Watch a quality movie. St. Mary's this week, Will, is it Wednesday? I think it's Wednesday night, is showing the new movie about Paul. Go see it. Go see it and think about it. Think about Paul and what his life was like and what he did. Choose to do something this week that engages your mind for God. Heart, soul, mind, strength. Our physical capacities, our energy, our abilities. So to develop that kind of love, do a review of what you do well. What are your talents? What are your abilities? Some of you cook really well. Sandra could use your help for the meals, the community meals. Using your energy, using, if you can organize something for God. Rachel has an incredible gift for growing things. She glorifies God. I know that her faith is in front of her when she is at doing that booth. That's a way that she uses her abilities and gifts. Find it and then use it. How much time are we actually spending dedicating part of our lives to God? How can we do the things we do with the spiritual element? That's another thing. There are things we got to do. Do you pray when you clean? I do. God, would this finish, please? Can I please be done? Can I just command it to clean thyself? Nah. Do you think about God when you're driving? Okay. Pray for your coworkers. Make a practice again of encouraging people. How much time specifically should be spent in working in ministry? There's no guideline for that. That's between you and God. But it should be some. And it should be more than just coming to church on Sunday and Village Square. We are created to make a difference. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is so important. It's not enough to just love God. It's not enough. You have to pair it with loving others. There's no such thing. This commentary I have said this. I loved it. There's no such thing as a non-neighbor. You realize that? There's no such thing as a non-neighbor. Passages that might help. Romans 13, verses 8 to 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 14. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then this is a little longer, but I want you to soak it in. soak this one in. This is from the book of 1 John. And a challenge I would have for you this week, you got 2 weeks before you have to put up with me again. 2 weeks. I want you to read the whole book. It's 5 chapters. It's short. But it's so important. And it talks about love in a way that is just so incredibly important. Chapter 3, starting with verse 11. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who was from the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be astonished, brothers and sisters, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Whoever does not love abides in death. This is strong. All who hate a brother or sister are murderers. And you know that murderers do not have eternal life abiding in them. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. In other words, if your heart's clear, if you know that you're doing what you're supposed to do, then you're close to God. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit he has given us. If we do not love our neighbor, we can't be loving God. It all boils down to that. How do we develop this kind of love? We see needs and we do something about them. Not enough to see. We spend time with those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are heartbroken. And we forgive. We forgive those who have hurt us. And you know when you say, well, I wonder if I've truly forgiven them. I love this definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness has happened when you can wish them well. It's beyond saying, I'm not going to be mad at them anymore. No. I wish the best for that person. So what are the two commandments? You shall love the Lord your God, say it with me, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now live them out. Take one step in each area this week. Make that your goal for the week. Practice makes perfect, after all. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, it seems so simple, and yet you know how imperfect we are. Lord, we ask you to give us your power, give us your wisdom. Lord, help us to be pleasing to you. Help us love you in the way that you have asked. Help us to love one another. It's in your name we pray. Amen.